The sparkle, the scents, the sounds, and the sunlight. He trailed a paw in the water and dreamed. The water rat sculled steadily on and forbore to disturb him. "So, this is a river?" said the mole.
"The river," corrected the rat.
"And you really live by the river?"
"By it, and with it, and in it. And on it," said the rat.
"What lies over there?" asked the mole, waving a paw towards woodland on one side of the river.
"The wild wood," said the rat shortly. "We don't go there much, we riverbankers."
"Aren't they very nice in there?" said the mole nervously.
"Well, the squirrels are all right, and the rabbits, some of them. And Badger, of course. He lives right in the heart of it. Dear old Badger. Nobody interferes with him."
"Why? Who should?"
"Well, there are
others. Weasels, stoats, foxes, and so on. They're all right, in a way, past the time of day when we meet and all that, but, well, you can't really trust them.
Now then, here's our backwater at last, where we are going to lunch."
The rat brought the boat alongside the bank, made her fast, helped Mole ashore, and swung out the luncheon basket. The mole spread out the tablecloth, took out the packets and arranged them, gasping, "Oh my! Oh my!" at every fresh revelation. When all was ready, the rat said,
"Now, pitch in, old fellow."
The mole was glad to obey.
"What are you looking at?" said the rat presently.
"A streak of bubbles travelling along the surface of the water."
"Bubbles? Oh-ho!" said the rat, and chirruped in an inviting sort of way.
A glistening muzzle showed above the edge of the bank, and the otter hauled himself out and shook the water from his coat.
"Greedy beggars! Why didn't you invite me, Ratty?"
"This was an impromptu affair," explained the rat.
"By the way, my friend, Mr. Mole."
"Proud, I'm sure," said the otter.
"Well, tell us who's out on the river," said the rat.
"Toad, for one," replied the otter. "In his brand new boat. New togs, new everything."
The two animals laughed.
"Once it was nothing but sailing," said the rat. "Then he took to punting. Last year it was houseboating. It's the same, whatever he takes up. He gets tired of it and starts on something fresh."
"A good fellow," remarked the otter, "but no stability."
An errant mayfly swerved athwart the current. A swirl of water and a cloop, and the mayfly was visible no more. Neither was the otter. But again there was a streak of bubbles on the surface of the river.
"Well, well," said the rat, "I suppose we ought to be moving."
The afternoon sun was low as the rat sculled gently homewards. Presently the mole, already quite at home in a boat, so he thought, said,
"Ratty, please, I want to row now."
The rat shook his head.
"Not yet, my friend. Wait till you've had a few lessons. It's not so easy as it looks.
Look here, I think you had better come and stop with me for a little time. I'll teach you to row and to swim, and you'll soon be as handy on the water as the rest of us." The mole was so touched that he could find no voice to answer him. When they got home, the rat made a bright fire in the parlour and planted the mole in an armchair in front of it and told him river stories till supper time.
Supper was a most cheerful meal. Shortly afterwards, a sleepy mole was escorted by his host to the best bedroom, where he laid his head on his pillow in great peace and contentment, his newfound friend, the river, lapping the sill of his window.
"Ratty," said Mole one bright summer morning, "won't you take me to call on Mr. Toad? I've heard so much about him."
"Certainly," said the good-natured rat. "Get the boat out and we'll paddle up there at once. It's never the wrong time to call on Toad. He's always glad to see you."
"He must be a very nice animal,"
observed the Mole, as he got into the boat.
"Oh, he is, indeed," replied Rat. "Simple, good-natured, and affectionate. Perhaps he's not very clever, and it may be that he's boastful and conceited, but he's got some great qualities, has Toady."
Rounding a bend in the river, they came in sight of a handsome house of mellowed brick, with well-kept lawns reaching down to the water's edge.
"Toad Hall," said Rat. "One of the nicest houses in these parts."
They glided up a creek and passed into the shadow of a large boathouse. They disembarked and strolled across the lawns in search of Toad, whom they happened upon resting in a wicker garden chair, a map on his knees.
"Hooray!"
he cried, jumping up on seeing them, never waiting for an introduction to Mole.
"You don't know how lucky it is you're tearing up just now. Come with me, dear Ratty, and your friend, and you shall see what you shall see."
He led the way to the stable yard, and there they saw a gypsy caravan, painted a canary yellow.
"There!" cried the Toad. "There's real life for you. The open road, travel, interest, excitement. Come inside and look at the arrangements."
The Mole followed him eagerly up the steps.
The Rat snorted and remained where he was.
It was indeed very compact and comfortable. Sleeping bunks, a cooking stove, lockers, bookshelves, pots, pans and kettles.
"All complete," said the Toad, as they descended the steps again. "You'll find that nothing's been forgotten when we make our start this afternoon."
"I beg your pardon," said the Rat. "Did you say we and start, and this afternoon?"
"Now, dear Ratty," said Toad imploringly, "you've got to come. I can't possibly manage without you. Oh, come and have some lunch, and we'll talk it over."
During luncheon, the Toad painted the prospects of the trip and the joys of the open life in such glowing colours that the Mole could hardly sit in his chair for excitement. The Rat allowed his good nature to override his personal objections. He could not bear to disappoint his friends, already deep in schemes and anticipations. When they were quite ready, the Toad led his companions to the paddock. The old grey horse was caught and harnessed, and they set off. It was a golden afternoon. The smell of the dust they kicked up was rich and satisfying. Birds whistled cheerily. Wayfarers stopped to say nice things about their beautiful cart. Late in the evening, tired and happy, they drew up on a remote common, turned the horse loose to graze, and ate their supper sitting on the grass. At last they turned into their little bunks in the cart, and Toad said,
"Well, good night, you fellows. This is the real life for a gentleman. Talk about your old river."
They had a pleasant ramble next day, and it was not until the afternoon that disaster sprang out on them. They were strolling along the high road when, far behind them, they heard a hum, like the drone of a distant bee. Glancing back, they saw a cloud of dust advancing on them at an incredible speed, while a faint boop, boop wailed like an animal in pain. In an instant, with a blast of wind and a whirl of sound, it was on them. The poop, poop rang with a brazen shout, and the magnificent motor car flung a cloud of dust that enwrapped them utterly, and then dwindled to a speck in the distance, a droning bee once more. Rearing and plunging, the horse drove the cart backwards towards the ditch at the side of the road. There was a crash, and the cart lay on its side, an irredeemable wreck. The Rat danced up and down in the road.
"Villains!" he shouted. "Scoundrels! Road hogs!"
The Mole was trying to quiet the horse. Then he went to look at the cart. It was a sorry sight. Panels and windows smashed, axles bent, sardine tins scattered over the wide world. The rat came to help, but their united efforts were not sufficient to right the cart.
Hi! Toad!